Welcome to the Nittany Blues Podcast. By Penn State fans, for Penn State fans. Here are your hosts, Andrew and Vince.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Nittany Blues Podcast, where we talk Penn State football, basketball, and all things Nittany Lions. Thanks so much for joining us. We are here live in Vince's living room after the blue-white game. We are here to recap what we saw from the spring game, give you our thoughts on where the team is right now, going into the kind of off-season here after spring ball is finished. So, Vince, what did you think of the spring game?
Yeah, so first of all, great to be doing a podcast back in person. This is our second in-person one all time, I think. So nice to be back in person. In terms of the game today, I think there were a lot of question marks left unanswered. And I was a little underwhelmed in certain areas, especially in terms of offensive performance in the game. Typically, when you have a scrimmage situation like this with your teammates and you're a defensive player, you're typically holding back a little bit because obviously you're not trying to injure your teammates. And the offense just really struggled to get going today, especially consistently in the passing game. Now, we take that with a grain of salt. It is the blue-white game. The wind was hectic today. There were gusts of up to 55 miles per hour, and that definitely has an impact in the passing game. However, it was very inconsistent, and I was hoping to see a better performance in terms of the passing game. So did you see similar things? Do you think it was more the offense underperformed, or do you think the defense is just that good, even with Tom Allen transitioning over to defensive coordinator?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a combination of both. I think that, you know, from top to bottom, I think the defense has a bit more depth and a bit more experience right now. So I think there's that. And I also think the fact that Andy Kotelnicki coming in, there's a new offensive scheme, like guys are still getting adjusted to it. And, you know, the whole first team offense was not together, you know, because you had Julian Fleming on the, you know, the quote unquote second team with the blue team and stuff like that. And Nick and Catron weren't out there. Tyler Warren, you know, we didn't see him at all out there. So the offense is definitely going to have a different look when all those pieces are together. So I think there's a combination of like a couple different things. Like everybody, of course, wanted to see Drew and crew out there just throwing the ball around, like making things happen left and right, just making it look effortless. But that's, you know, that's usually not going to be the reality in a lot of these cases, which is unfortunate. But, you know, I think we can at least rest assured that even with Tom Allen's new system, you know, the defense is still in a good spot. There's a lot of great playmakers out there. I mean, we saw Abdul Carter seemingly make just a seamless transition from linebacker to defensive end. I mean, even though his name wasn't called because they weren't like announcing the stats live during the game, I mean, you saw just how explosive, how twitchy, and how just reactive he was at the defensive end spot.
And it was just insane. I think that Abdul Carter, I think he's going to be a better defensive end than linebacker.
He might be.
Like the tight ends who were supposed to block him, they couldn't even touch him and get a hand on him. That's how quick he was. And he does look a little bit bigger than last year, but he has not lost any of that speed or athleticism. And
yeah,
when you had Chop Robinson saying, hey, this guy's going to be a problem, and now that I'm seeing that, like, yes, absolutely, Abdul Carter is going to be a problem for other teams. If I am any other team in the Big Ten and I'm game planning for Penn State, I'm like double teaming Abdul Carter every single time. He's the number one guy I am most afraid of on that Penn State defense, especially with that transition over to defensive end.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, I think it's obviously it's a spring game, but this is potential all Big Ten type talent that he was doing this to during the spring game. So the guy is just freaky good, like no matter where you put him on the field. So what do you think of the wide receiver corps though? I mean, obviously they were a bit of a embattled group last year, didn't really perform to the level that they probably expected of themselves. And certainly we as fans didn't really see much to be very happy about. But what did you think of them during the spring game?
Yeah, so there's a lot of question marks at the wide receiver position. For me, this is the number one position of concern I have for Penn State. Last year, they really struggled to create separation and get Drew some easy throws. And, you know, now there's rumors that Keandre Lambert-Smith is, expected to declare for the transfer portal in a few days, and he was their leading wide receiver last year. So that's a big hit. And I think this really puts a lot of pressure under Marquise Higgins, the wide receivers coach at Penn State, because 2 years ago, when Taylor Stubblefield was in charge, they won the Rose Bowl. You saw, Mitchell Tinsley, Parker Washington, Keandre. You saw all of them making big plays on the way to a fantastic season. And last year was really underwhelming. And they really do seem to have a lot of talent, but they just underperformed. And now you have Keandre Lambert-Smith potentially entering the portal. And that is a major area of concern for me. In terms of guys that stood out, I thought that, Liam Clifford made some nice catches today. He's not going to be a guy who's, having a 40-yard big play for a touchdown, but he can be a solid move the sticks kind of guy. In terms of who I was most impressed with today, for me, it would have to be Caden Saunders. Mm-hmm. There were times where he definitely beat the corners deep and Drew just didn't connect with him on the throw, but he definitely showed that he has that quickness and ability to separate and create space. There are also a couple times that, Trey Wallace was able to get open deep.
Yeah.
And the thing that Drew needs to be better with is he needs to be consistent. And we saw that today. And there are times where we're like, man, is like Drew Aller the next Christian Hackenberg? And he's just, his performance goes from, really high level freshman year to kind of, gradually falling off. But then there were times today we're like, wow, that was a really nice throw. So,
oh, yeah. Yep.
Just like a lot of, guys on the roster and, these are college athletes. They need to work on being consistent. That's definitely an area where he does need to improve. Part of that might have been due to weather conditions today. Like, I know when we were throwing the football, 15, 20 yards, sometimes I would be throwing and the ball would be right on path right towards you. And then a gust of wind would come out of nowhere and move it 5 yards to the side. Yep. So it was, weather definitely could have played a factor today. Now, we were in an open field. They did have some protection from the wind from the stadium, but still that could have played a factor. So, that's what I saw. So I would expect, Trey and Caden to be, good players for them. However, their biggest strength is, beating guys over the top. So Drew, if he's going to have success with those types of players, he needs to be able to connect on those deep throws.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the wide receiver core?
Yeah, I mean, I had similar thoughts. I thought that what I really took away from it, though, was the fact that the wide receivers weren't being asked to only beat their man one-on-one deep. They were making use of those guys' speed horizontally as well as vertically, because mm-hmm. You saw Harrison Wallace get open on a couple of different crossing routes, and they moved the sticks a couple of times with his speed. So I actually like that utilization of his skill set. So I would, if we find that to be happening more in the 2024 season, I think that'd be a welcome change from what we saw in Yursich's offense, which was a lot of verts, a lot of trying to beat guys one-on-one instead of scheming guys open and stuff like that. So I saw a little glimmer of that. We'll see how much that carries over. But yeah, I think it's tough to take too much away from the spring game just because it is a spring game. Mm-hmm. I mean, we saw a lot of guys' names being called. I mean, obviously, we saw Julian Fleming's name get called once. We saw Harrison Wallace get his name called. Caden Saunders, like you said before, Amari Evans was in there. Saw, a handful of different tight ends, Joey Schlaffer, Andrew Rappelier. We saw Khalil Dinkins mm-hmm. doing a lot of things out there, even though his name wasn't called very often. So, they're getting guys involved in a lot of, or they were getting guys involved in a lot of different ways. So, I think this is a make or break kind of year for Higgins, if I'm being honest, considering the fact that Fleming is coming in, there's an immediate infusion of talent and experience. And also with the rumors of Keandre Lambert-Smith pondering entering the transfer portal, you got to show that you have the chops to make use of this talent that's here, because by all metrics from where these guys came from, as far as their high school pedigree, these are very talented receivers. So I'm expecting them to have a bounce back year. That's what fans should expect of this program and of this group. So, you know, we'll see. But I guess I would say I wasn't like overly concerned by what I saw from them. Mm-hmm. Like the throws that were being made to them, there was maybe only one where I was like, I should have caught that. Otherwise, I thought it was okay.
Yeah, I thought the performance was okay too. And but I definitely do have concern because Mike Yurcich 2 years ago, you know, led this team to a Rose Bowl and won a Rose Bowl. And in terms of the talent that they had at the wide receiver position 2 years ago, I feel like they were performing at a much higher level compared to last year under Marquise Higgins. And,
yeah,
you know, you saw Mike Yurcich kind of be the sacrificial lamb in terms of job security. So, you know, I think, you know, Marquise Higgins does have a lot of pressure and really hoping that he lives up to it because the players do seem to like him. And really hoping that Penn State can make use of all the speed guys they have. Amari Evans, speed guy. Trey Wallace, speed guy. Caden Saunders, speed guy.
Yep.
And the thing is, if they can start connecting on those deep throws, that is going to make life so much easier for the run game, and it's going to make life so much easier for the tight ends on those crossing routes over the middle. And we do have a lot of good tight ends. You know, obviously no TJ Warren today, or Tyler Warren. They were resting him, or you know, maybe he's dealing with like a minor injury that they're just not going to risk anything. So, but I thought like Khalil Jenkins and company, they all looked great. And I was really happy with how that position group looks and in terms of depth and everything. I think this Penn State team should really try to almost model what Michigan did last year. I don't think they should be asking Drew to do too much. You saw Michigan not ask J.J. McCarthy to do too much, and they won a national championship. And if this defense can be close to the level it was at last year, and they continue to take care of the football like they did last year and run the ball more, like for some reason last year, in terms of yards per carry, they were doing pretty good running the football, but then they would get away from it. They need to really be disciplined, stick with the running game. I think they need to play in that style like Michigan, where they just try to wear you down. And I think that is the big key for success for Penn State this year. I think that's how they have to win. And doing 2-3 tight end sets at a time, I think that's going to help them. You got to get your best players out there. So I want to see lots of 2 tight end sets. I think Kodelnicki is going to have fun doing that. Bo had some nice runs today, so I think they'll have a sprinkle of Bo in there in the offense, especially the red zone, where you know you can trust Bo to make throws, but he's such a threat in the run game that the defense has to be more honest, and that can create bigger openings in the red zone. So those are things I would like to see moving forward with Penn State.
Nice. And speaking of the run game, you know, a guy whose name that we heard a lot during this spring game was Quentin Martin, highly touted recruit from the Pittsburgh area, a guy coming in who just seemed to have all the talent in the world. The guy who Franklin went on the record as saying that, you know, he's still a little raw and they're still, you know, working to refine his technique and his, you know, his awareness, his vision, his process, his, you know, all these things that go into being an effective college running back. But by all means, you know, it seemed like he really picking up the ball quickly, no pun intended, but he looked very effective today, recorded a couple of touchdowns, looked fast, looked explosive. Mm-hmm. What'd you think of him?
Quentin Martin, I believe he is set to receive the torch after Nick and Catron, more likely than not, declare for the draft after the end of the season, because they're both at that level where, you know, they can play in the NFL. So if they choose to, you know, take that route, that's something I could see happening, you know, unless NIL is able to, you know, help them stay. We are seeing that more with players like, you know, Egbuka out of Ohio State. He's an example of a guy who could have easily went to the NFL, but decided to stay, and NIL helps with that. So those are two guys that could be in the last year. And I think Quentin Martin, he was the guy I was most happy with today. Like if there's a Fidale fighter for Blue White Games, like Quentin Martin is my Fidale fighter.
Yeah.
I think he's setting himself in such a really great position to be running back 3 in this offense from year one. He was definitely ahead of London Montgomery and Cam Wallace, in my opinion, from what I saw. And I don't think he's like that far behind. And like Franklin said, he said, hey, we're really happy with the progress he's making. And I can see why, you know, Franklin kind of pointed him out as like one of those guys to receive a compliment in, you know, media pressers because he's performing and he has that burst, he has the size, he has the vision, which I think is probably the most difficult thing at the running back position, because all these guys that are coming to Penn State, you know, they're good athletes. If they didn't have the traits, they wouldn't be here. So really happy with his performance. And I think he's going to be, you know, a big part of this Penn State offense in the very near future.
Yeah, 100% agreed. I mean, obviously there really wasn't an RB3 with the system last year. It was Singleton and Catron. Obviously the offense is going to center around them for the majority of the 2024 season, I would imagine. But I mean, given what Martin's able to do on the field as far as his playmaking ability, it would be hard to keep him off the field for all 60 minutes of a football game, just knowing like what he can do with even limited opportunities. So we'll see how that plays out. But yeah, I thought he was rather impressive. Another guy who I thought was really shined during this game, and he's another newcomer to Penn State, is AJ Harris. So he's not, you know, a new incoming freshman, but rather a incoming transfer from Georgia, former five-star recruit, cornerback, you know, a guy who a lot of fans were excited to get to State College, considering the fact that Penn State was losing all three of their starting corners. And I got to say, I mean, from what I saw today, he looks pretty much just as good as advertised. He was all over the place. He was in pass defense, looking very effective. He was in the backfield a couple of times on some corner blitzes. Just, he looked like a bona fide athlete. Like, I thought he looked really good out there, and I'm very excited by what I saw. Would you say the same was true for you?
Yeah, I think so. I think the corners look pretty good. They definitely did get beat at times. So if you're facing elite quarterbacks, within the Big Ten, that could be an issue going forward. But again, it's a spring game. Both the offense and defense have new coordinators. You know, they're working on verbiage, terminology, scheme.
Yep.
And that takes a lot of time. And if you're definitely a hard fan, like I am, you're hard on the team, like, you got to sometimes take a step back and realize, hey, this is their first year in a system. And like, I would like to think of it as, let's say you get a new job. Obviously, it's going to take you some time to, even if you're doing the same profession, it's going to take you time to learn, okay, how does this place operate compared to my old place? And you might have different procedures and ways that you do things. So it's going to take some time. Now, if you still had Mike Yurcich and Manny Diaz and it kind of looked like this, I think I would be a little bit more concerned, and that might be a red flag for me. But the fact that you do have the new coordinators coming in, I do think it will take some time for this Penn State team to really gel and get that chemistry down under the new systems.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, there's so many reasons to not take the spring game too seriously. And the fact that you're bringing in two completely new coordinators only adds fuel to that fire. So, you know, I don't think we should be getting too high. I don't think we should be getting too low. I think you should just kind of take it for what it is. And it's a glorified practice game. You know, these guys are not playing with game intensity. There's no like real life crowd roaring behind them, Beaver Stadium rocking like you would find on football Saturdays. So, you know, I think everybody should like keep that in mind, like when they're kind of evaluating things. Anything else that really kind of stood out to you? Any like major themes or anything from the day that you want to share, talk about?
Yeah, I think on the white team, the offensive line looked pretty good. You saw Nick Dawkins at center, so I would assume he's ahead in that competition, and like he was giving snaps to Drew today. So I think that, you know, he'll do a really good job taking Hunter Norzad's spot, and he's a guy who's a natural leader too. I think very highly of him. And I think the line looked pretty good today. You saw that on those Quentin Martin touchdown runs.
Yep.
He was on the white team, and his running lanes were definitely a lot more open than Cam Wallace and London Montgomery. So the offensive line definitely played a factor in him looking good today. So we can really put a little more pressure on that offensive line in the running game and take a little bit more of that pressure off of Drew, and we're able to stick with it and do it consistently. I think that could be a formula for success for Penn State in this upcoming season.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's the key word though, right? Is like sticking to it, because we saw so many times last year where Penn State would have some good success running the ball and they would just, for no discernible reason, go away from that. So I think that's up to Kotal Nicki, obviously, though, to figure out, like, okay, this is working. I got to stick with it. I have to, you know, ride the hot hand, as it were, with this sort of game planning and my play calling and stuff like that. So, you know, from what I saw, though, like, I think we didn't see a lot of razzle dazzle out of the offense, and I'm okay with that. You know, that's what Kotal Nicki was really known for.
It was the vanilla ice cream.
Exactly, which is what I said during our last episode, during our preview pod. I said, you know, I just want to see the vanilla ice cream, because the vanilla ice cream was not what we saw during the 2023 season. Like, we just didn't see that. Like, we didn't see the stuff that's supposed to be in a quote-unquote normal offense. We didn't see execution of those things that are meant to kind of settle in your quarterback, get into a rhythm, like establish your presence in a game offensively. We didn't see any of that. And so I think the fact that we saw pretty much only that during this game is kind of a positive sign. Like, there's no need to like try to bring out your two quarterback sets and like your double passes and your hooks and ladders and all that stuff. Like, it's a spring game. You don't need to do that stuff. Like, you have a new offensive system. You should be figuring out the stuff that's going to make that whole machine run first, and then figure out the finer mechanics from there, at least in my opinion. So I was happy from that aspect, but obviously there are some throws there to be made that obviously weren't completed, but again, spring game. I keep coming back to that idea because I'm like, I don't want to crush Drew Aller for missing a couple throws in the spring game.
Yeah, and you know, some of you might be saying, oh, like, whatever, the weather, they should be able to perform in the weather. Weather was very intense at our tailgate today, so we had a canopy up and took several steps. We were like tying strings to like the siding of the canopy, and over time, the pretty much one of the legs of the metal rod to the canopy like snapped in half. That's how strong the wind was today. When the wind was gusting, it was actually, I think, a heroic effort that your mom was able to like hold up the canopy by herself, essentially, her and yeah. Andrea, with those like 55 mile an hour winds. And yeah, that was pretty crazy. Rest in peace to our canopy.
Pour one out.
It's pour one out for the canopy. You know, you hate to lose that in a blue white game, but yeah. thankfully it was, you know, our tent and not a like a serious Penn State injury during the blue white game. Like, yeah, that would have been much worse. So, like,
yeah, instead we just suffered a career ending injury of our tailgate canopy. But that was insane. I mean, that was some of the worst conditions I've ever seen for tailgating.
And I've lived here in State College for 9 years. Probably the worst wind we've had was 40 to 45 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've definitely, there was one time I was actually like biking, and my friend and I were biking together, and we actually got blown all the way to the left-hand side of the road. And we were like trying to stay right, but the wind was that strong that we physically could not move the bike through the wind, and we ended up just like turning around and going home.
Wild.
But you know, the gusts were reported to be up to 55 miles an hour today. Man, they were strong. So yeah, weather definitely could have played a factor today. But good news is all the kicking went through. I don't think we missed any field goals or extra points today.
That's true. Yeah.
So in 55 mile an hour gusts, I think that's a good sign for yeah. special teams. So, you know, good sign there. And yeah, today was just a great day. It was a little cold in the morning, but then the sun came out, and also we got to walk on the field. That was awesome too after the game.
Yeah, so that was neat.
That was the first time they let fans walk on the field for 20 minutes after the band and the players all cleared off the field. Yeah. And Coach Franklin was walking around the stadium giving a bunch of people high fives and thanking them for coming out and supporting the team. So that was something that's really cool that I'm happy they did this year.
Yeah, that was a neat touch. And clearly, I mean, it resonated with a lot of fans, because like as soon as the game ended, us included, people were just basically lining the front railing of the field, just waiting to get onto the field. And so as soon as they said, all right, you can go onto the field, everybody was just on it, you know, like it was just instantaneous. People were going over the bars, like people, I mean, we entered the field from a spot that was, you know, quote unquote, not supposed to be like an entry zone sort of deal. We went on, it was neat. A lot of people laying in the grass for some reason, which I don't 100% know what the deal was with that. Like,
yeah,
you know, you're taking a picture of yourself. Like if you're taking a picture, like a selfie of yourself and like another person while you're laying on the grass, all it's going to look look like is that you're laying in a field.
Yeah.
Unless you have like one of the lines or the hashes or the numbers there with you. But regardless, to each their own. Everybody seemed to love that experience. You and I got some pictures of ourselves in front of the player's entrance gate. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be pretty cool to use on our website and stuff. A lot of people in line to get pictures with the lion, which, I mean, of course they were. I wonder how many he got through in that 20-minute period,
though. That's a lot. We were not waiting that line. That's for sure. But I do understand people like laying on the grass. Like,
do you?
Yeah. Like Beaver Stadium's definitely a special place. And why it does feel special in the stands and being in the stadium, it feels even like you feel even that aura even more when you're actually on the field and in the grass. And like, you know, you're just like kind of grounded to like all the history that's been played on that field. And yeah,
wow, so profound, Vince.
It's pretty cool. So I understand people laying in the grass. I personally did not, because I didn't want anyone to like not be paying attention and like step on me or something. So like, you know, there were times where like I was like being careful with like where I was walking around, because you're like kids like lying around in the grass and stuff. So definitely being careful as I'm walking around. But it was cool to like sit in the bets, like some of the fancy like heated benches and stuff like that, and see what those are like. So it was neat too. Yeah. And really excited to get out there tomorrow. We're going to get you out there for the Beaver Stadium.
That's right.
And
yeah,
support the Special Olympics and, you know, raise money for a good cause and run fast.
My first 5K in about 10 years at this point.
10 years.
Yeah.
And what was your time last time?
Oh gosh. I mean, probably like back then I was faster than what I am now. But my time back then was around like 28 minutes. So probably not going to beat it, but I'm looking forward to it. So we're going to get to run through the Penn State campus, have some fun. Hopefully the weather holds on for us and we'll have a good time.
Yeah. What we should do is we should make a bet of some sort. I'll probably run around 16 minutes, I would guess.
Okay.
Because the course is about 3 miles. So do you think you can run it in less than double the time? So like, let's say hypothetically, I run like 16 minute flat.
Uh-huh.
And if you go under 32 minutes, you would win. But if you go above 32 minutes, I win. Do you want to make a bet?
Sure. What are we going to bet?
I don't know. That's what do you think we should bet?
To be determined, like round of beers. I don't know.
That's fair. All right. We'll say around. So cool. I have to run twice as fast.
All right. Which is really not out of the realm of possibility. Let's just put it that way. But cool, man. This has been a good conversation. Anything else you got on the day? What would you give today's blue-white game experience as far as a grade, like A through F? What would you give it?
I'll give it a B+.
All right.
Yeah. I would say like, it was a typical spring game. Like the vibes were good. It was really cool being in Beaver Stadium. Wind was a little crazy. You know, I definitely would have liked to see more on the offensive side of the football, especially the blue team. I would have liked to see them, you know, get some scores up. But, you know, I think more of your starters were on the white side. So, you know, all in all, it's a good time. It's spring ball. It's football. Yeah. It was just an enjoyable experience to watch. So yeah. It's never... Blue White weekend's never a bad experience.
Agreed. Yeah. I mean, it has to be terrible weather for it to really be a huge disappointment. And, you know, for as much wind as we got, at least we were dry. So
yes,
we still had that. Cool. Yeah. I would also give it like a B. So, you know, pretty solid day. Not terrible. Not, you know, the best ever.
Yeah. And no new injuries too.
That is so also true.
That's a big win to get out of a contact game with no injuries.
Yeah. Unless you count our canopy.
The canopy, then, rest in peace.
Then in which case, yeah, that is definitely a notable injury. But yeah, we're certainly never going to forget this one, because this is going to be the one where like the wind damn near tried to, you know, kill all of us via flying canopy. But at least our thing didn't fall over or topple over like the people up the hill. I mean, those,
yeah,
it's a good thing that they moved, because if they had tried to like keep that thing up, like that thing was going to fly through a windshield.
That's yeah. Like, and actually like, it was like kind of rocking all day, but it was like holding together. And yep. Eventually there was this one even bigger gust. Like those ones are probably like 40 miles an hour and it was like holding up fine. But then once you got those 50 mile an hour gusts, like it just must have, it broke.
Yeah,
I mean, it's crazy because that stuff is like metal too.
Yeah,
that's crazy that it was able to snap like those back two legs almost.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the combination of like all the legs being staked to the ground. You've got basically what is a parachute.
Yeah.
Side with the walls there. So, you know, it just took like the right combination of forces and stuff like that. I'm sure a physics expert would be able to tell us.
Yeah. I still think the tent would be safe to have up on like a non-windy day. Mm-hmm. But if you were to bring that tent to like another inclement weather, like windy day, it would definitely like snap in half. But if you had like a calm day, like you could still use it if you wanted to use it to like block the sun or something and get some shade.
Considering the fact that we had to hammer it a bunch just to get the thing close, I think it's well and truly done,
yeah,
in my opinion. But cool, man. You got anything else here?
Yeah, nothing in terms of football. We did get some basketball news today that was very imperative. So, you know, I kind of woke up this morning, saw the Keandre Smith with the news and was kind of feeling down. But something that brought me right back up as I was scrolling down my Facebook feed, I saw that Ace Baldwin Jr. is returning to Penn State to try to run it back. So,
oh yeah,
pretty much 4 out of their 5 starters and their 6th man are coming back, which is really huge for Penn State basketball. What they do need to do is they need to hit the transfer portal and get some good players. We haven't really heard much outside of the center from Xavier signing. So, you know, that'll be a nice addition, but they missing Kudus Wahab. That is going to be a big, big ask for them to replace. And ideally you want two guys kind of around his level because you know, your center is not going to be playing 40 minutes a game. So, That's a position like your bigs, kind of like defensive line in football, where you're going to be rotating guys throughout the course of the game. Whereas like Ace Baldwin Jr., he can play 40 minutes a game and he's going to be fine, kind of like Jalen Pickett. But yeah, so they definitely need to get some bigs, especially in the transfer portal. And, you know, I think they can have a really good season. They were clicking really well towards the end of the year. You had Zach Hicks knocking down threes. Puff was playing really well towards the end of the season.
He's also coming back.
You had DeMarco Dunn, who's coming back. So you got Nick Kern, who's really athletic and can drive well and is just an athletic freak. So he's a really good player too. So they have a lot of guys coming back who can really potentially bring this Penn State basketball team back to the NCAA tournament. Now, will they go to the Final Four? Probably not. But I do think, you know, they have the potential to, if they get some good guys in the portal, maybe make it to a Sweet 16, similar to the Shrewsbury team 2 years ago. So really excited for Penn State basketball heading forward. Another thing to be happy about, always feels good to beat Michigan. Penn State men's lacrosse, they beat number 17 Michigan today, 14-8 at home in Panzer Stadium. So that was really great. Men's volleyball got a win Friday night over George Mason to clinch the EIVA championship. They won in 5 sets over number 16 George Mason. They're playing right now as we're recording, and we checked, they're up 1-0. So hopefully they do pull that off. Women's softball, they won 10-0 last night over Michigan State. Beard Field, they're playing as we record now. They're up 6-3, so hopefully they close out well. And men's baseball got a nice win on Friday night over Indiana. They did lose 10-9 today, but both the softball and baseball have their last game tomorrow, so hopefully they can close out in style and have a good weekend for Penn State athletics as a whole.
Good stuff. Yeah, and just to kind of also punctuate what Vin said about Ace Baldwin Jr., you know, that's not just a run-of-the-mill player. That's the reigning defensive player for the Big Ten Conference. So that's a major, major get for Penn State.
Yeah, and that's huge. And also one team I missed out on was women's lacrosse. They beat Maryland today by 1 goal. They won 12-11 at Maryland. So
wow,
big win for the women's lacrosse team. Maryland is definitely a lacrosse school. So happy to see them get a W, and you know, hope both lacrosse and softball, baseball, men's volleyball, hopefully they have a good season moving forward.
Amen. Cool, man. You got anything else?
Yeah, that's about it. It was a great blue white weekend as always, and can't wait for the football season to start.
I know. Yeah. It seems like it's going to be right around the corner at this point. So thank you guys for listening though to this one. Hope you enjoyed it as always. Big way that you can help us out here at the Nittany Blues podcast is by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you are listening to this podcast from. It helps expose our show to new listeners, help us reach new Nittany Lion fans like yourself. So please, wherever you're listening to the podcast, if you could leave us a review, tell us some things that you like, maybe some things that you don't like and want to hear more of, whatever the case may be, we love your feedback. Other great ways to support the show is by visiting our website, nittanyblues.com. You can listen to all of our previous episodes there, learn more about the show, visit our merch shop at shop.nittanyblues.com. You can also learn a little bit more about our new partnership with the College Huddle, which, spoiler alert, you're going to be seeing a little bit more of myself and Vince involved with the College Huddle here very shortly. So be on the lookout for that. We'll share more updates on our socials, which, by the way, we are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nittany Blues or Nittany Blues Podcast. We post all the updates on our new episodes. Vince does his man in the crowd bit where he's sharing his photos from his seats at all these sporting events that he attends. So kind of a unique experience that you get there. So make sure you follow us there. But Vince, that's all I got.
Thank you guys, as always, for listening. Starts with I love you. It ends with I love you. And we want to remind you that we are
the Nittany Blues Podcast. We'll see you next time.
In this new era of college football, where old-fashioned media just won't cut it, I'm proud to present a new voice for college football fans, the College Huddle, your number one source for fan-driven college podcasts.